WRCT Pittsburgh.
We got a right to the tree of life and all that love can give us. We're not afraid to shine our light. We're here to tell our story. We got a right to the tree of life and all that love can give us.
WRCT Pittsburgh.
You will never find.
You're listening to The Elias Show on 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh. You can listen online at WRCT.org and you can reach us in the studio at 412-268-9728. Smooth, relaxing, and easy with Eric O'Brien Blends, instrumental versions of songs everyone knows with the occasional vocal pop standard, and then mixes that with odd news, interesting song facts, and a moment or two of levity. If there is too much noise in your world, tune in to Smooth, Relaxing, and Easy Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5 p.m.
Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Is a national, daily, independent, award-winning news program. Democracy Now! Hosts real debates, debates between people who substantially disagree, Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m.
Sounds like we should be on Democracy Now! We substantially disagree. How are you doing today, Arthur?
I'm doing good. How are you, Elijah?
I'm doing good. So I want to tell this story before we do anything else. This is crazy. He, like, bolted in here, like, 8 seconds before the show started.
Give me some credit.
And then after that, he was like out of breath, like, right? And then
okay, I wasn't that out of breath.
Okay, fine. You were out of breath, and then I was like, you want some water? He's like, sure. And then he bolts during that song to the vending machine, and then comes back, and now he's here, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, sure.
And he didn't even get water. He got Sprite. All right.
Listen, the only water they had was Dasani, and if you think I'm drinking that, you are out of your mind. Okay? Dasani is awful.
Happy Daylight Savings Day to everyone listening. Hope you enjoyed that extra hour of sleep, which couldn't get Arthur here on time. but I'm going to play some more songs and let him catch his breath as we dive in to this week's episode. I'm not going to reveal the theme just yet, but I'll let you figure that out from the next two songs. Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig. If you want my future, forget my past. If you wanna get with me, better make it fast. Now don't go wasting my precious time. Get your act together, we could be just fine.
You got G like MC, you liked it on a easy V, you doesn't come for free, she's a real lady. And as for me, how you'll see, slam your body down and whine, it's all around. Slam your body down and whine, it's all around.
If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever, friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is. If you wanna be my lover,
all right, so that was Wannabe from the Spice Girls, not Britney Spears, Arthur. and before that, you heard I'll Be There For You, the theme song from Friends, by The Remembrance. This is not an episode of Friends, though, but the theme this week is going to be songs about friendship. And in the very friendly fashion, I'm going to try to get Arthur to accidentally curse on the air. please don't curse on the air. It's like every sentence you say, there's a cuss word. So pretend that my mom is in the room right now listening, because she is listening, but she's not in the room. All right?
I would still cuss if your mom was in the room.
Arthur.
I'm kidding. All right. I'm kidding.
So actually, the reason I chose, you know why I chose a theme of friendship this week?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, because no. Well, I mean, you were going to explain anyway.
Well, I'm going to explain because you were one of the best friends that I've made this year at CMU.
Oh, thanks.
And so I was like, what better way to celebrate our friendship, than by bringing you on, chatting with you, and playing songs about friendship. So I'm going to play a song dedicated to our friendship right now. This is Count on Me by Bruno Mars. And then afterwards, we're going to chat.
All right, sweet.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like one, two, three, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like four, three, two, and you'll be there. Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Tossing and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep, I'll sing a song beside you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, every day I will remind you. Oh, find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like one, two, three, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like four, three, two, and you'll be there. Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah.
That was Count on Me by Bruno Mars. Every year, thousands of people die, and many more are hospitalized. It's not funny, Arthur. From diseases that could have been prevented by vaccination. In these tough economic times, more families must choose between health care and other critical needs. Fortunately, there is a federal government program to provide vaccines for children at no or low cost to uninsured families and others who qualify. More information at NACCHO.org. A public service message from the National Association of County and City Health Officials and WRCT. Now, each year, 40% of food in the U.S. never gets eaten, with the average family of four spending $1,500 per month, per year on food that they throw away, and each individual throwing away over 24 pounds of food per month. Wasting food wastes everything: water, labor, fuel, and money. Cook it, store it, share it, just don't waste it. Learn how to better plan, store, and cook your food at SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by the Natural Resources Defense Council and WRCT. Arthur, you're a watch enthusiast.
Yeah, you could say that.
You could. Well, one of the first conversations we ever had, you were checking out my watch.
It's a nice watch, yeah.
Well, thank you. Where did your interest in watches come from? And, like, Let's start there.
Okay, so if I remember correctly, my dad came to visit once, and then he was wearing a very nice timepiece. And then I was like, ooh, that's cool. And then I didn't really give much thought to it. And then I think my mom got me a watch afterwards. It was like a, you know, cheap, you know, regular digital watch, because she was like, okay, you have got to learn to keep track of time, because I showed up like late to things and it was a mess.
How old were you around this time?
Gee, I don't remember. I want to say, let's say first grade. How old are people in first grade?
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with first grade. But yeah, and then I went to China to see my dad, and then we were at a, water bottle. We were in a big mall, and I saw a watch store, and I was like, ooh. And so I wandered in, and then my dad was like, oh yeah, these are nice watches, but like these ones are fake and also like completely overpriced. So then he's like, just wait, I'll get you like a real watch. And then he got me a G-Shock. So that was like my first like watch, I think. Yeah. And then I got another one, and then it broke because I was being dumb. And I like smashed it into something on accident. And then my dad was like, okay, I'll get you a replacement. And so this is the watch I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, I've never
got me.
Your dad got you that watch.
Yeah.
I want to get back to that. But I just want to say, I hate the business major jokes. I feel like you study business. We're both business majors. Yeah. I hate these jokes. They're getting old. They got old after a while. How do you feel about frequent jokes about your major?
Here's the thing. I don't really care that much, because I will just make a joke about like your major if someone makes a joke about my major, right?
It's a better joke, probably.
I don't mind that much. Well, you know, I tend to consider myself a funny person, but you know, that's besides the point. I don't mind too much. Now, if the person who I make the joke about their major can't take the joke, then I'm like, okay, wait, David, what's going on here?
Right.
But usually people are pretty good about that. But yeah.
When you tell people you're a business major, do you feel like people make an unfair assumption that you're not as smart or that your work is easy?
Yeah, people tend to make that assumption. And I guess it's not like, I don't think it's necessarily entirely false, but I don't think it's entirely true either. Mm-hmm. Cause like, I feel like our workload is probably definitely easier than like a CS major's.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we're still here at CMU, so I wouldn't consider it, like, easy. You know.
I mean, you weren't always going to study business, though. From what I heard, you wanted to be a pilot in the Air Force.
Yeah, that's true. That was a big thing I wanted to do. And I wanted to be a fighter pilot in the Air Force. So I was actually trying to apply to the Air Force Academy.
Oh, wow.
But then my eye doctor, they noticed that there's like some thing in my left eye, and I was like, oh, it's probably not a big deal, whatever. Because the way it works is that like, if you're like good enough at everything else, even if your eyesight is bad, because like I wear contacts. And if I took them out, like, yeah, I wouldn't be
wearing them
see
right
much.
Now?
I'm wearing them right now, yes. Otherwise, I don't think I could read like stuff over there. It would be bad. But yeah, They'll like give you LASIK corrective surgery, and they'll like pay for it, and they'll perform it and everything. So you don't have to worry about that, right? You just have to be good at all the other requirements. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't too concerned about that. But then my eye doctor was like, "Yeah, you've got like a retinal hole or something." Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was kind of bad. So that basically they were like, "Yeah, you can't do anything with like head hits might be problematic. So don't like go box or play football," which I didn't do anyways. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't too concerned. But then they were like, you know. Like extreme G's was probably not great, especially like with the head area and
extreme G's.
Yeah, G forces.
Okay.
So like
roller coasters.
Roller coasters aren't too bad.
Okay.
Because that's like, I think roller coasters are like what, like 3G or something like that.
I have no idea. I study business, not science.
But like, as an Air Force pilot, like you'll pull like a lot of like 9 G's.
Oh, wow.
I think you black out at like 9 or 10 or something like that.
Wow.
So that was just like. Supposedly not very good.
You said you were going to apply to the Air Force Academy, so it must have been your dream for a pretty long time.
Yeah, I would say like in high school that sort of became like a dream of mine.
How did that come to be? Like, is it just like flying school? Or you like cars too, so is like, do you like planes too? I don't know.
Yeah, planes are pretty cool. I flew a plane once and I was like,
you flew a plane?
Yeah, so I went on this thing. Like, I was in Boy Scouts, so we did, like, there was, like, an event we did where we ended up, like, going to some airport, and there's a guy with, like, a Cessna. It was, like, a 4-seater, small, piston-driven plane. And we got up in the air, and then he was, like, I was sat in the co-pilot seat because I was the oldest one, and he was, like, do you want to fly it? And so I was, like, obviously, I said, yeah. And so I flew the plane around for a little. I didn't do any of the takeoff or landing, you know, hard stuff. But, like, that was pretty cool. And then I kind of was thinking about getting my pilot's license for a while, but then it basically came down to, like, because, like, getting your pilot's license is A, very time-consuming, mm-hmm. and B, very expensive, because planes aren't cheap. You can get, like, hours in, I've heard, from people, because, like, there will be rich people who have, like, a plane and a hangar, but there's, like, some sort of policy where, like, if you have your plane in the hangar but you never use it, like, they're not going to give you that hangar spot, because you have to, like, renew right. your hangar spot, supposedly, like, every X amount of time, right? And so, like, there'll be rich people who literally just be like, I will let you fly my plane because I'm too busy, you know, doing rich people things to fly right. my plane, and I want to keep my hangar spot. So that's like a good way that I've heard some people get, like, practice hours in. But, I mean, you still have to get lessons, obviously, because, again, flying a plane is not as easy as driving a car, though I know you don't have experience with either.
Wow, you're throwing shade on my show, too. Well, so that brings me to, how do you find out that you have retina hole in your eye? Like,
Okay, I'm not a optometrist, so I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure they, like, cause I went in for, like, some routine checkup, and then, I mean, you know how it is when you go to, like, any doctor, right? Like, especially the dentist, you, like, some not dentist person comes and, like, looks at your mouth for, like, 30 minutes, and then the actual dentist comes over, and he's like, yeah, you're good, and then he leaves after 2 minutes. But basically, like, the regular person was just like, checking up on my eyes, prescription, yada yada, you know, does it look better, 1, 2, and then the actual eye doctor came in, and then she was like, holy cow, because she noticed, like, a thing was wrong, and then, yeah. So they spent, like, an extra 10 minutes looking at my eye, and then they just saw it.
So, so the doctor doesn't literally tell you that you're never going to be a pilot in the, or Air Force, or wait, can you be a pilot if you wanted to?
I mean, yeah, I would just risk potentially going blind in my left eye if the retina hole expanded without me being aware. Like, there is, like, treatment for it, and, like, stuff you can do to prevent it, but it was just sort of, like, a bit risky.
So how do you get to that point where you know that, or where you it was your decision to not be a pilot?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, my mom wasn't a huge fan of it, but it was also my decision. My mom wasn't, like, that type of person to be like, I'm deciding what you're doing with your life. She would definitely make her suggestions, but... You know.
But when does that come into play? Like, you found out you have this this condition, let's say, and then are you thinking about it for, like, one day, or when do you realize that? What sparks that realization
that I no longer want to apply to the Air Force again?
Right.
I think it was, like, a combination of things, because applying to any military service academy is, well, first of all, they're very, like, hard to get into, number one. And number two, there's, like, a long, complicated process. You have to get, like, nominated by, like, a senator
right.
or the vice president or a house, someone from the House of Representatives. And then there's only so many nomination slots that you can go away per military academy, yada, yada, yada. So I actually got a bit of a late start on that. And then it was also just the fact that, like, you know, if you go blind in one eye, it's actually pretty annoying, because, like, your depth perception is screwed up,
right?
And, you know, I like driving a lot, mm-hmm. And I haven't looked at the legal, you know, legalities, but I'm pretty sure driving with only one, like, visible eyes is not the greatest of ideas. So
it wasn't just that, like, it affects your life, the pilot thing, it, like, affected other things, like, you wanted to drive, and so you didn't want to risk losing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So why? Mm-hmm. What happened? Why? Like, where did you end? How did you end up in business?
So I've always, like, liked the idea of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely want to, like, start my own company. Ideally, if I could start my own car company, that would be awesome. But yeah.
Yeah. What was your top reason for coming specifically to CMU then?
I didn't have, like, one specific reason where I was like, that's, I have to. Mm-hmm. But it was just sort of like, I looked at, like, all of my colleges that I were applying to, and I was like, this one, like, taking everything into account is probably my favorite, because, like, we have a really strong business program, a really strong in, like, other stuff, engineering, science, computer science, whatnot. It's, like, in an urban setting, which I was like, if I go to a rural college, I will get so bored, I will just compost.
And but you're degrade. From, like, a rural place, though. Would you say?
No, I'm not. I'm from a suburban area, okay? Listen, just because you're from New York City does not mean that every other location in the United States besides, I don't know, L.A. is a rural place, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine,
I'm just
sorry.
Because there were cornfields within, like, a 10-mile driving distance does not mean that I was in a rural area.
okay.
No, I lived in the suburbs, right. And I was about, like, I don't know, 30-minute drive from the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? On that note, let's play another song, and then we'll chat some more, yeah?
All right.
This is You're My Best Friend from Queen.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was You're My Best Friend from Queen. I'd like to point out, you can call us in the studio at 412-268-9728. If you have any questions for Arthur or song requests, or you just want to say hi and tell us we're doing a fantastic job on the Eli Show this week. Yeah? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you started talking about how you were living in Minnesota. I'm going to take a seat. Your family moved from Chicago to Minnesota.
I'm actually not 100% sure why. I think it's because of my mom's work or something like that. That she decided to move. If I remember correctly, my dad worked for Arthur Anderson, like way back in the day, which is like some accounting managerial company or something like that. And they ended up going bankrupt probably because they were doing some sketchy accounting business, if I remember correctly. They didn't follow the law. So eventually they went out of business, and then he was looking for a new job. And then my mom was also like transferring jobs within like the same company, but to a different location. So they just moved to Minnesota. Also because at the time, like some report came out and it was like, well, Minnesota's a great place to live because you have good schools and whatnot. And so they were like, you know.
That was when you were like two, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe a little older, three or four, something like that.
Okay, so you don't remember, you don't remember anything before that, or do you?
Not particularly, no.
Do you remember what it was like? Well, you don't remember what it was like to move then.
No, not really. Do you remember what it was like when you were four?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, I'm asking.
I'm just curious, because I don't know if this is just like me not having a functioning brain, or if this is just like people don't remember what's going on.
Oh, no, I think
before.
You're good.
Okay.
But despite living in Chicago only until you were two, three, four, we don't know. you still feel connected to the city in some ways. Like, you are a fan of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, man, I'm wearing the hoodie.
You're wearing,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I was like, again, I must have been like first grade when this happened. But basically, I was watching some football game, and I was like, what's that team? You know, who the team's playing? And my dad was like, oh, that one's Chicago. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was born there. And so I was kind of like, you know, this is my favorite team. Because not only was I born there, but it was also like one of the first teams I'd watch play football. And especially because at the time, I must have been like eight, right? So technically, you know, it's like people are like, well, you moved when you're three. You live most of your life in Minnesota. And it's like, yeah. But back then when I decided like that I like actually was interested in sports and I like wanted to pick teams to root for, that was instead of like, you know, being – what, like 3/18 or whatever of my life, it was like 3/8.
Right.
So it's like a bigger percentage, I guess.
Your dad had the Chicago Bears on TV.
No, actually, we were at my aunt and uncle's house in Buffalo, New York. Mm. And they, my uncle watches football, so that's he's a Bills fan.
Oh, Bears playing Bills at that time?
No. The Bears were playing the Packers.
You remember what happened then when you were 8 years old?
Yes, we lost, and I was very sad. Because Jay Cutler was probably not doing great. I don't know.
Do you wish you grew up in Chicago in a urban setting?
On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, I probably would have gotten shot, so maybe not.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. I mean, I'm not. You know, people always tell me that I don't have the strongest sense of self-preservation and safety. So
expand on the yes part of it, though. Not the no part.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. I've just always felt like more of a pull towards like big cities, you know, and like it's like hustle and bustle, busy and stuff.
Right.
Like if I lived in a rural, I would get so bored. Mm-hmm. I would get so bored. I met a guy from rural Minnesota, and he was talking about how like on his weekends he would just drink beer in a barn. I was like, that's like the best you can do.
That's yeah.
Like it was sad. But yeah, so I feel like there's a lot to do in a big city, and it's really cool. So yeah.
You went to Chicago. When was that?
I've been to Chicago numerous times, but the most recent one was spring of senior year in high school.
When you go there, are you like, oh, this is where I was born, where I was like...
I mean, like, I've been to, like, or, like, walked past the hospital where I was born.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So it's not like when you're in there, you're not like, oh, this is, like, where I'm from. It's just another city.
I mean, I definitely feel more connection to it than, like, I don't know, Seattle or some other big city. But,
right.
I don't know, cause yeah, I can't really be like, you know, oh, I know all about it. Like this is where everything is, cause I don't.
So it's just like visiting any other city for you.
Yeah, I mean, I like it a little bit more, not for any like logical reason.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Would you ever consider living there?
Yes.
Mm.
You know, there's a couple of things I don't like about Chicago. But for the most part,
the fact that you can get shot, which you
yeah, and I can't shoot back. That's kind of annoying. But yeah.
All right. On that note, you're I can't believe I'm like jumping like to topics on that note, but your dad is from your dad was seemed to have a pretty big influence on you, like with the watch thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't live here anymore.
No.
He lives in China, right?
Yeah, Shanghai.
Shanghai. What was it? How frequently did he come to the
Well, before like COVID, it was usually like I would go back to China every 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And you know, when I was a kid, like obviously I didn't have anything to do, right? Cuz like so I would, you know, I think the longest time I went to China was for like 2 months. I was there. But now it's like if the past couple times when I've gone back to China, I've only stayed for like a month tops, to, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, just because like, you know, you get busier the older you get. Mm-hmm. You have more things to do. But then my dad would visit, you know, 2-3 times a year sometimes. It just depends.
Right.
It was really funny. One time he just was like, yeah, I'm coming to Minnesota. And then, like, we did not know about this. And he was like, I'm on my way. Like, he was on the plane. And wow. He was like, oh, okay. But, I mean, like, our house is, like, pretty big for, like, 2 people. I mean, it's not, like, a huge house or anything. But, like, you know, it's got, like, 4 bedrooms. So it's just comfortable. Like, he can show up and it's not, like, you know, right. We're panicking.
I mean,
so it's fine.
I guess my question is, like, did that affect you as a student? Like, first of all, your father not being around, and then second of all, he was like you were traveling kind of somewhat frequently.
I don't know. It never really affected me as a student, I don't think, because my mom was like one of those parents where it's like, you know, your education comes first, mm-hmm. and you got to prioritize that. And so, like, every time we'd go on vacation, she would almost never like allow me to go on vacation if like I had school. Like, you know, she wouldn't let me skip school for a vacation. Mm-hmm. Even when I was in like elementary and middle school, where let's be honest, that stuff doesn't really matter all that much.
Right.
I guess like it's still important to go to elementary school.
I think we made all the elementary school teachers feel so important right now.
No, they are really important. I'm just saying, like, if you miss like a couple of days,
yeah,
like it's not the end of the world, right?
Sure.
And honestly, I don't know. Maybe I would have been a slightly worse student just because, like, my mom always tells me that like she was really good being at like school and whatnot. So she's like, you know, you should be good too. And then she's always like, yeah, your dad wasn't as good at school.
Okay.
So I was just like, okay, whatever. But yeah.
Well, you obviously weren't a terrible student, otherwise you wouldn't have gotten here.
Depends how you define terrible student.
How do you define terrible student?
Let's just say a lot of my teachers may not have liked me, but my grades were good, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like, I feel like whenever a milestone came though, like your dad wasn't, like, everyone had their father there, right? And your dad wasn't there. Like, graduation. Was your dad at graduation?
No. Because, graduation was, like, post-COVID. And I don't know if you know this, but China's COVID policy is absolutely atrocious. My mom was like, oh, you know, we should go to China. And it turns out that if you want to go to China, A, you have to, like, sit in a hotel room for 2 weeks to quarantine.
Yeah.
But you cannot leave your room. And so they put you with like a bunch of other people, and like you don't get to pick the hotel, but you still have to pay for it.
Right.
So like if they decide to pick like one of the nicest hotels and you can't afford it, you are just out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if they pick like the most awful hotel and you're like a nice one, it doesn't matter. And then they'll like go through all your stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like going to China, and then leaving and coming back is even more of a pain. So there was kind of no shot that he was going to be there or that I was going to visit him, in the recent time.
Did that ever cross your mind?
What?
Whenever any of these milestones came up, right?
Oh,
does that cross your mind?
Not particularly. I don't know. I'm not like super sentimental about that stuff.
Sure.
And then my mom would always make, the best effort to like make it to these sorts of things.
Right.
So yeah.
So did you ever feel like lonely? Like, in that sense, like as a child, you're also an only child.
Yeah. So that's like the house was often very quiet. So I guess in that sense, I would say
it's a 4-bedroom house. It's big.
Yeah. Well, I mean, compared to anything in New York, it's big.
Wow. Again, against New York. All right.
But yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, but like I, I was pretty good at making friends, so I didn't have to worry too much.
See, I always wished I had a sibling, though. I always did. That's just my experience as an only child.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, yes, but on the other hand, like, my mom would always tell me stories about, like, you know, her friends, and then they've got, like, a sibling, and then they got, like, pissed. Because, like, as a child, I was very, like, possessive over my stuff. And, like, as a sibling, you kind of have to share. So I was, like...
Only as a child?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know what you're trying to get at here. But, yeah.
I'm just, like, throwing back at you the you're throwing at me.
Okay, yeah. And, although I guess I do kind of wish sometimes that I had a sibling, because then, like, the attention has to be split among by the parents, right? So they're not constantly focused on you, which can be nice.
Sure.
But at the same time, I feel like if I had a sibling and my sibling was anything like me, my mom would have gotten a heart attack. So.
And that could have, like, do you think that could have taken away from, like, when you do visit your dad and you do see him in the, like, 3 years, like, that there's another sibling? Like, you said the tension can be split.
I guess not really. I'm not sure, because, like, I've never really been in that position, but I would say probably not. I wouldn't be, like, too, like, I wouldn't be, like, hot and bothered by it.
Right. Okay. So is those 3 years the only time you're in contact with your father, or do you, like, still communicate with him?
I still talk to him. Yeah. Not like super frequently, but
when's the last time, if you don't mind me asking?
When was fall break?
Fall break was a few weeks ago. End of
middle of October. So, like, a week after we got back from fall break?
Okay, so it's not, like, a few years ago.
No.
Do you think it's possible to have a closer relationship since he lives so far?
I mean, yeah. We could definitely talk more often, but, especially with the time zone difference, and I'm very busy, and he's very busy, but yeah.
You spoke a little bit about your, like, cultural upbringing, a little bit. How significantly did it impact you getting good at math? Because you're really good at math.
I don't know. My mom, again, was, like, very, like, she prioritized, like, education a lot. So she would always, like, make sure that I did well in school. And then she, like, would also be like, yeah, so you're going to do some, like, supplemental educational, like, stuff. And so I ended up doing that.
Yeah,
and I don't know, it just sort of happened. And then I'm somewhat of, like, an aggressive person in various ways, but also, like, in the sense that, like, if I see an opportunity, I will generally try and go for it. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity in middle school called UMTM. It was this awful acronym, but the University of Minnesota basically had this program where, like, as a middle schooler, you could do, like, faster, more advanced math. And my mom was like, this will probably be good for you because, A, you know, you can do more advanced math and be smart, and B, because I was so incredibly bored in a lot of my classes that I would literally just mess around and piss the teachers off. Not with the goal of pissing the teacher off, but inadvertently, the teacher would get upset. And so they didn't, my mom was like, you need to stop getting yourself in trouble. And she's like, this might be a way to do that.
Right.
So yeah, I did that. And then, yeah, that's basically how I got, like, good at math, if you will.
So do you think, like, you're being smart and, like, good at math, did that, like, would you say that smart, like, that skill that you had was kind of more innate?
I'm not really sure. I'm not, like, a scientist that studies, like, brain and education, so I don't really know. But I think definitely a lot of it could be attributed to, like, my mom being like, you need to, like, take your studies.
How about
seriously.
This? How much of your success, and maybe that impacted how much you, like, if you got into you getting into CMU, how much of that is talent and just being smart, and how much of that is like working really hard and having good habits and things like that?
I'm going to change the parameters of your question. I'm going to attribute it 30% to talent, 30% to my...
He's going percentages here.
Yeah. 30% to my mom, and then 40% to working hard.
Yeah. That's pretty good. 30.
That adds up to 100, right? Yeah,
I just wanted
to
check.
Okay, yeah,
that'd be pretty bad. I said you're good at math, and if it didn't add up to 100, I'd be a little bit concerned. You know what? We're kind of like... I feel like we need some music right now.
I would agree.
In the spirit of friendship, Arthur, I'm going to let you have a lot of input on the music.
Okay.
For the rest of the show. And so this song is Beast of Burden?
Yeah.
Do you want to play that one?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it. By the Rolling Stones from the album Some Girls. And you like this song.
I do.
So here it goes. Okay. That was Beast of Burden. And Arthur, you know what time it is?
Game time?
It's time for a game!
Ah, let's go!
All right, this game is called Arthur's Favorite Things.
Oh, boy. Okay, all right, let's go.
All right, so I'm going to list off things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to tell me Your favorite.
My favorite. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's go.
So, all right, let's start with, these are Arthur's favorite things. Favorite movie.
Favorite movie. I'm going to go with either Top Gun or John Wick.
Okay.
Can't decide.
John Wick is like a name of a movie.
Yes.
Okay. I know Top Gun.
Yes.
And I heard that was your favorite. I was going to ask you, the next one was going to be favorite movie other than Top Gun.
Then John Wick.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Favorite car.
This is a question you cannot ask a car person because they will list off 18 cars and still not be able to decide. But currently, let's just go with the Shelby Cobra SC427.
Shelby Cobra SC. What is SC? Say it again.
427.
SC427. Okay.
Or it might be 427 SC. I'm not 100% sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Favorite. What's the color of that car?
I swear to God, I will strangle you with your headphone cable.
Hey, if I die, Arthur's the main suspect. Favorite watch.
Favorite watch. Oh, okay. Omega Seamaster.
Omega Seamaster.
Yeah.
I'm saying it like someone's writing this down.
Yeah. Write it down. No, I'm kidding.
Write it down. You know who you are. Write it down. Okay. Favorite thing about CMU so far?
CMR.
CMR?
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite thing. Love it. So much fun.
Okay. That was really fast. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite thing about Minnesota? I have a new topic I didn't come up with before, but I'll add it in there.
Okay. Favorite thing about Minnesota? Maybe just like, I don't know. It's actually quite nice there.
That's not a favorite thing.
Shut up.
It's nice there.
I don't have a favorite thing about Minnesota. I just like it as a whole. It's not like one thing I would specifically point out. I guess like my friends are there, but like that's not like a thing about the state, precisely.
Favorite thing about Minnesota is that your friends are there. Okay.
Okay. Fine. I'll give you a real answer.
I'll say we're coming back to that one.
We got a lot of nice lakes. There you go.
Oh, the nice lakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And your friends.
Yes.
And your friends in the lakes are like.
Perfect. Well, I'm not drowning my friends in a lake, no.
Well, you can swim in a lake. You don't
have to. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
With you, strangling and then drowning? Come on. Favorite thing about the CCP?
Absolutely nothing.
All right.
You told me I couldn't cuss. Move on to a different topic. All right. I will cuss.
Favorite color?
My favorite color.
I probably shouldn't have put those back to that.
Blue.
Blue. Yeah, why blue?
I don't know. It's a nice color. I like it. It's visually pleasing.
Visually. Is that? Okay. Okay. Someone told me, and I'm not going to say names because someone told me
that
why is your entire wardrobe blue?
I don't like buy clothes.
Me neither.
Like, okay.
I have a person who does that.
Of course you are, New Yorker. Anyways, I don't have a person. I don't like buy clothes all at once, right? I'll buy one article of clothing, and then I'll wait like a month, and I'll buy another article of clothing. Mm-hmm. So I look at clothes, and I'm like, dang, this one looks really nice. And then I look through the color options, and I'm like, dang, it's blue. And because blue is my favorite color, I'm like, I'm going to get it in blue. And then I wait like a month and a half, and then I look at another piece of clothing, and I'm like, I'm going to buy that one in blue too.
I see.
And then, you know, inadvertently, after like a year, I've realized that I've just only bought like blue clothes.
So it's a build.
Yeah, it's just accidental. If I bought it all at once, I would be like, holy cow, everything is blue. This is problematic. I need to change some colors. But because I don't, I didn't really realize it.
Actually, next, the holiday season is coming up quite soon, so I'm going to buy you some clothes that are not blue. favorite player on the Chicago Bears?
Currently, Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney. Receiver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Bears don't have many receivers.
Okay.
Hey,
we got Chase Claypool, the self-described top three wide receiver. Sorry, Chase. Sorry, Chase. You are completely and totally full of crap.
okay. Favorite thing about Roma? And I'm talking about Italy, of course.
Right. Okay. It's a very nice place. It's a very beautiful place, Italy. It's
Ayo.
Very nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lovely. It's so nice to spend time there. Yeah,
actually, seriously, not Italy.
Yeah,
it's nice to spend time there.
Yeah,
all right. I guess take with that what you will mean. With mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that a little later.
It's okay.
Stay tuned. favorite sport
to play or to watch?
both. Let's go with...
To play, I'm going to go with tennis, probably. Yeah. I guess, like, if I, like, take it seriously. Although I do love, like, just playing football with my friends.
Did you play tennis with... So, Vaughn was on my show last week. Do you play tennis with her boyfriend?
No. What?
With her? Who'd you play with? I thought you said you played with a guy named Alex.
No.
I probably should not have said her boyfriend's name on
there. Yeah, good job, buddy. No, Well, ever since coming to CMU, I've played tennis with Nick, Ethan, and Mia. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was four of us. We played doubles, I think.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. you did not answer some of these, like, properly, but...
Which one did I not answer properly? Hold on. I'm not going to accept the slander.
Let's fight about this over the break.
Okay.
Favorite song?
I don't know.
I'm going to play the song, your favorite song, so you have to figure out an answer out. That was the whole point. We're leading to another song.
Oh, okay. Favorite song.
You messed up my conclusion. I was going to go, well, that's your favorite song. Let's play it right now.
Right now, let's say Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to... Okay.
Yeah.
There
you go.
You want to...
Guns N' Roses.
Welcome to the... Okay.
Is that not okay?
It's marked explicit. I'm scared. I don't want to play it.
Okay.
Can we play a different song that you suggested?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
What song?
Blame It on the Boogie. Let's do that one.
You want to do that
one? I love that one.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that one.
It's a good song.
Right. It's by the Jacksons, by the way.
Dancing.
All right. That was Blame It on the Boogie by the Jacksons. You want to sing some of it for us, Arthur?
No.
Okay. all right. You did not say your favorite sport to watch. So
yeah, my favorite sport to watch is football.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to elaborate on any of your answers?
Hmm?
You don't want to elaborate on any of your answers? No, okay. Let's go back into our conversation, all right?
Yeah.
Because okay. You, my friend, just started a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
Feeling good.
Feeling good?
Yeah.
It's good. all right.
Are you sure you have the capacity to ask these questions?
I do.
Okay. Just making sure.
I don't know what that means. Okay. did you have a lot of girls in high school?
No.
No? You have a date to prom?
No.
No?
No.
Did you have a prom?
Yes.
I didn't have a prom.
Yes, we did.
Well, I had a... Okay, I had a prom with, like, quotes.
Yeah, because... What, didn't you say you just, like, went to some dude's house?
No, we went to someone...
Oh, someone set up, like, an actual
venue. Rented a like, photography studio. It was, like,
what?
Probably the size of this, like, studio if you cut down this wall.
Oh.
And it's not that... The studio's not that big. But
yeah,
this isn't about me. This is about...
I'm just saying, we ran around International Market Square for our high school. I don't know what you guys were doing.
International Market Square?
You wouldn't know what that is. It's a place in Minnesota. It's a huge venue, though.
Oh, that's where you had your prom.
Yeah.
Why didn't you take a date?
I was kind of busy. I didn't have time to ask someone else. Also, I didn't really care that much.
I see.
I didn't feel like there was anyone in specific that I was that interested in. So.
Yeah, is that why you didn't
bother?
Is that why you don't post on social media much? With like pictures like from prom.
Yeah, I don't know. I also just don't really post on social media because I'm a bit of a boomer and I can't be bothered.
So you're too busy.
In a sense, yes. In a sense, no. I'm like, I could definitely find time to post on social media if I wanted. It's not like that time consuming. I just don't care enough. Yeah.
All right. I mean, I guess my question is it scary to date someone who, this person, lives on the same floor as you in college?
No.
It's not scary?
No.
Doesn't it put more pressure on the relationship to work out, though?
I mean... Yes, but here's the thing. I don't go into a relationship being like, yes, I anticipate this one to not work out. Let me...
You said you didn't have a lot of girls in high school, so you probably haven't gone into any relationship before. Okay, that was supposed to be a diss,
okay,
and you're looking at me
okay.
with anger.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure what your point was there, buddy.
Arthur and I are good friends. I want to point that out. I'm not just being a bully. I want to make...
No, I'm not, like, bothered or anything, yeah. Cause like I feel like, if you're going into a relationship like planning out contingencies for fails, that's to me not the greatest. Like again, I'm no expert, but that's not the greatest sign that it's gonna like turn out great. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I completely understand.
Like I have this philosophy of like I don't have a plan B when I do things, because
mm-hmm.
I feel like if you have like again, this isn't to say like don't have like backup plans, because you know. Obviously, things don't always, you know, work out in life, not just, like, with relationships specifically. But, you know, you definitely want to have a backup plan for, like, if you're, you know, doing stuff. But if I have, like, a plan B that's, like, super planned out, then I'm just going to find, like, it's just too easy to find an excuse to not go with your plan A and then end up doing your plan B. So if you really want to do something, don't have a plan B.
And you apply that to a lot of different things in your life, not just relationships.
Yeah, no. Like, when I did my marathon, I was like, I'm going to run a marathon. And someone's like, oh, but like, what if you can't, you know, train in time? What if...
Or finish it.
Yeah, you know, what? Maybe you should do a half marathon first. I was like, no. Like, that's a plan B for me.
How often
that's,
do you
That's
think,
an excuse.
Really?
Yeah, and
not
I mean...
Not preparation.
What?
It's not... You don't see it as preparation.
The half marathon?
Right.
No, because like, you have to... I don't know. Also, like, I've ran, like, basically a half marathon before, just like going on a run.
Mm-hmm.
I ran like 11 miles,
so
it wasn't like, you know, 13, but like in my opinion it was close enough, so I didn't need to really worry about that one.
How
so.
Do you feel like you need someone to like, do you think or even want someone to push you to say have a backup plan in those cases where you say that it might be necessary, or do you think you can figure that out yourself?
I think I can figure that out myself. Yeah,
he's a capable, smart man. Of course, he can.
Yeah, I'm a little bit cocky, but whatever.
I just want to remind everyone you're listening to the Eli Show on 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh. You can listen online at wrct.org, or you can reach us in the studio at 412-268-9728. We're gonna be here till 1:30. Maybe we'll go past that. I'm having such a great time, so.
I'm not. Can we please hurry up and finish?
Is it difficult to balance developing? This theme today is about friendship, right? Is it difficult to balance developing new friendships? And with, okay, not just, okay, with the development of your relationship that you're trying to figure out, she's obviously trying to develop, do the same thing. And then you have to also maintain your old friendships from Minnesota, the people, it's your favorite thing about Minnesota. So.
Yeah. I mean, you've always got to like manage your time, right? Mm-hmm. Time management is like a crucial skill you got to have. So in a sense, like it's always difficult, right? Like, right. Like I think one of my biggest peeves is like scheduling conflicts. But I don't know. I feel like hanging out with people and like spending time with people is not as difficult to balance because like, I don't know. I have this thing that y'all young people like to call FOMO, right? So I generally just try and like go to everything, with everyone. So and because I'm extroverted, it's not like difficult for me, right? I don't get back from like hanging out with like four different groups of people all in one day and go flop down on the couch and I'm like, I am so exhausted, right? I'm like, dang, can I find a fifth group of people that I want to hang out with? Yeah, I mean, balancing time, like, I think the harder thing for me is that, like, I need to balance, like, the time I spend hanging out with people and the time I spend doing my work. Because it's slightly easy for me to just be like, I can put off my work.
Right.
And then I'm sat there at, like, 4 a.m. cramming. Mm-hmm. And then I go to bed at 5, and then I don't wake up in time for my 10 a.m. class. And then there's going to be people out there listening.
In time or wake up at all?
In time, I'll wake up at like 9:50, and then I'll be like, the amount of I can't be bothered to go to class. Yeah, and I'm sure there's people out there with 8 a.m.s rolling their eyes, but
right. Do you do anything to like balance that, or is that something that's not like you just have to kind of navigate those situations as they come?
I mean, I definitely think there's like things you can do to better your time management, and there's definitely things that I should be doing right now to better my own time management. Sure. So yeah, I don't think it's one of those things where you can just say, oh, I'll just navigate it as it comes. Like, you got to be slightly prepared when it comes to managing your time.
I see. I want to take this back to your romantic partner. That's the label I'll use.
Okay.
Do you have a different label you'd prefer for me to use?
No.
No. Okay.
I'm not gonna obsess over whatever words you use.
I just want to know if there's anything you'd be more comfortable with, but. Your romantic partner introduced you to her friend the other day as a guy with, and quote, this is quote, slight anger issues.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself to be an angry person?
I would not say my neutral state is angry, but I would say that it's somewhat easy for me to go from my neutral state to angry.
Where does that
and more so than other people, I would say.
Where does that come from?
I don't know.